you enjoy your breakfast and then embed yourself second. And probably two other members or one other member will be around here. Can you just give us 7 minutes or so? Thank you very much. I think I will also give Adam to prepare a little bit better.
Yes.
that strategic workshop coincided, I think, with some of the emergency issues that were happening in Parliament. It was said that certain members could not attend the workshop, but it was a successful workshop. We have managed to do what we wanted to do. We met our people, stakeholders who made a serious contribution to the strategic workshop. But what we have done is that we have not really finalized it, because we wanted to really make sure that it's aligned to the parliamentary strategic plan. So we have to actually make sure that it's aligned, and then so that we really don't have strategies that are not achieving the same goals. So any time after this State of the Nation address, the possibility that we may be further forward to look at a specific document and finalize it, maybe within the next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, given whether we can have a political bias to actually finalize it. And other than that, the other thing I think, honorable member, you should have received the document that comes from the panel headed by the Chief Justice, the filling of the vacancy in the IEC. And we liked to have that particular meeting today, but unfortunately we could not process all the documents that are required to ensure that we do that job today. Because we had an intervention that said today is based on the State of the Nation on Friday's chair, and then we actually canceled today's meeting. We only revived this meeting, I'm sure, yesterday in the morning, after we have learned that it is not going to 12 o'clock, and then said, no, let's get rid of this particular exercise, because otherwise it's going to form a backlog moving forward. And hence, that's why we are meeting today, and we hope that we have not interrupted some of your plans. And therefore, we're going to try and ensure that this meeting is as short as possible, so that if you had other plans for today, especially in preparation for this afternoon's debate, so that we are able to actually do those things. And people must be seriously prepared for this afternoon. And then now, on item number 2 on the agenda that is in front of ourselves, we have an apology from Dr. Mulder, and then also Honorable Nis, I think, will arrive late, because I'm sure she looks like she has missed a flight probably in Johannesburg, 7 o'clock flight, I think. That's the one that she says she has missed, which means she'll be taking a later flight, 8 o'clock. She may have just landed in Cape Town, and by the time she arrives here, we may be out of this building, I don't know. Those are the only two apologies that I'm aware of. What was the problem with you?
He sent a mail this morning saying that he's got some others and still tend to open it.
Okay. Is there any other? Nobody. Okay, I think those are the only official apologies that we have. Can we then, honorable members, ask the cordial advisor? I think we have been officially informed that Adam is no longer a researcher, and then he has been appointed as a court advisor. Now we don't have a researcher. Remember, we had him as a researcher, and we did not have a court advisor. But then he was feeding both. Now he has rapidly moved in terms of his other crop, but he's still feeding both until Parliament sort us out. It's not a contract. That is what is going to fill the researcher post. It's a brotherly internal agreement. the day tired of it, and then you just simply opt out. But it's a request that we have tried to make, that why we don't have a better now? Because it's him who has actually vacated that position and created that problem. Then you must continue to assist us. Continue to assist us. Absolutely. You want to say something from Hong Kong? Yeah.
Thank you, Jefferson, and thanks for informing us about that, even if he actually moved himself. I just want to ask one question through the Jefferson to others. Does it have any money issues? Because moving up means that he needs to be given money, even if it's his own choice. It's because I don't want him later, Jefferson, to say, I've moved to a place and I haven't been given money. Even if you send the brother, he's there. Let's get to hear about it. And then later we'll check.
Well, I think it's a position that you want to clear. and then he called me. He did apply. He has not been put by anybody. He did apply, and then he wanted a position, and luckily he has been preferred. Yeah. He should be knowing better what he wanted in that position.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. And then I think on that score, then we should now give the college advice to actually unpack the state of the national threat in relation to Omar Khan. You may proceed.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Just briefly on the role of the content advisor, as referred to, so basically the content advisor is more involved in the planning of the committee and kind of making sure that the committee's functions are in line with the plans of government, as opposed to the researcher providing this information support. But as the chairperson has indicated, I will be fighting for both those roles as I have in the past. So looking at the 2015 State of the Nation Address, sorry for the blue documents, there was a problem with my printer this morning, but I didn't want to break paper and print more. So there are six main priorities mentioned by the President in the State of the Nation Address. Four of them apply specifically to home affairs, which is unusual compared to previous years where home affairs is only ever mentioned indirectly. So there's a lot more specific mention of the importance of home affairs initiatives in 2015 than in previous years. So briefly, there's a list of these key issues which I'll go into detail. The first is that they need to attract foreign skills for growing the economy, and also need to amend the visa regulations in this regard. Secondly, there's the establishing of the Border Management Agency, which we have some indications of already. Thirdly, the need to improve access to identity documents and alternative means of accessing this, which is the President mentioned the new initiative before, being able to apply for smart ID cards at banks throughout the country, which will drastically improve the footprint of the Department of Home Affairs in terms of ID provision. Next, the need for eradicating racism and all forms of related intolerance, issues of violence against foreigners and xenophobia and these matters, have a relevance to home affairs and have in the past couple of years been mentioned by the President. First, there's a 9-point plan to ignite growth and create jobs. Several of the points in that 9-point plan have some implication for home affairs. And then lastly, the Anti-Corruption Inter-Ministerial Committee, which will apply to all government bodies, on which Home Affairs has, the Minister of Home Affairs has a seat. Just for your relevance, for your information, the matters that specifically need to be followed up by Parliament have been mentioned in italics, usually towards the end of the highlighted paragraph. The impact on Home Affairs, firstly the first point there, that need to attract foreign skills will have and will directly relate to the immigration policy and regulations, which are being finalized and processed by the Department of Home Affairs, and they've given us indications of when this will be done. The draft policy likely to be finalized by the end of the 2015-16 financial year. There's a specific need for Home Affairs in this regard to engage with business and labour and other government departments and academic stakeholders to make sure that this policy is as broad and comprehensive as possible. The President also specifically mentioned the need to balance the need for security at the borders and the need for economic in economic development through importing foreign skills and promoting tourism. So these two main imperatives always need to be balanced out in immigration policy. Additional matters which will need to be addressed is the streamlining of visa applications for people with delayed skills. So there are initiatives already in place through the visa facilitation services, but there have been some difficulties with the visa facilitation service, VFS as it's called, and these will need to be improved on in order to improve South Africa's competitiveness on the international arena, where we are competing with many other countries and regions for the same skills. So we need to make it as easy for them as possible to come into the country. Measures that kind of help in this instance is making sure that the partners of skilled migrants can also get permits to be able to work in the country, so that they can come to the unit, which makes it easier for migrants to come, skilled migrants to come into the country and for us to be able to compete with other countries that do the same elsewhere. There's also a further need for intergovernmental cooperation on publishing of critical skills lists, which should come out every year and are often delayed. So all the different departments such as labour, education, home affairs, trade and industry, but others kind of need to get together and make sure that the needs, the critical skills that we need in a given year are updated regularly and that the right visas are given, the right kinds of visas are given everywhere. I mentioned the VFS needs to improve on its service delivery. It was a new initiative aimed at streamlining visa applications, but it has some teething problems and it's really encountering some backlogs. There might also need for further empowerment of the VFS to collaborate with institutions such as the South African Qualifications Authority, which verifies the validity of international qualifications. And the lack of collaboration between the department, VFS, and other role players in the visa arena contributes towards delays. So the department has, in the 2019, committed itself to being able to issue these critical skills visas within 4 weeks. At present, the period is much longer. The president also emphasized the positive negative impact of certain immigration regulations, particularly the need for tourists to have three documents for their children to travel with them, which is a passport, a birth certificate, and a permission of both parents or collecting the child to travel. This has been postponed a number of times, more recently until June this year. So part of the immigration policy debate, as well as the amendments to the regulations, will need to include and addressing these. So the president has kind of indicated that they will be addressed. The other matter with the immigration regulations was the fact that several immigrants have been declared undesirable as a result of no fault of their own. So they've applied for extensions to their visas once they're in the country. But then due to delays in home affairs, they don't get their visas renewed, and then when they leave the country, they're declared as undesirable and they can't re-enter the country for 5 years. This is a result of the amendment to the immigration legislation, and it's created problems with separated families, and it needs to be addressed in terms of the regulations. So then to stay in italics, so there's a need for Parliament and Home Affairs to monitor what's going to happen after June 2015, once those regulations, those particular regulations come into play again. Parliament also needs to make concerted efforts to both attend the migration policy plan, migration policy debate and dialogue initiated by the department, but also to make sure that its own consultation on immigration legislation is involved and possible, which we do already, but we'll monitor that. The Border Management Agency, it's also related to the first issue of immigration policy and regulations. And the Border Management Agency will play a pivotal role in coordinating various government functions. We've heard quite a bit about this already in the past year. the role of the VMA in relation to humanitarian and refugee commitment has yet to be kind of clarified. Also, there's uncertainty about how this VMA will relate to the movement of refugee reception officers towards the border. So that's something that's been an issue in the past and will need to be reported on or considered by Parliament. There's also the ongoing issue of intolerance and violence against foreigners and the coordinating role that the VMA plays will also play a key role in addressing the attitudes of officials of government departments to the foreigners. So that needs to be addressed. And okay, so this table is just the most recent indication from the DHA on what the timeline of the VMA. The feasibility study was completed at the end of last year. Legislation to be drafted, to be tabled with Parliament by December this year, and to be promulgated by the President by the end of financial year. The integrated VMA will be fully functional by the 2016-17 financial December year. Yeah, so we'll be monitoring throughout the next couple of years. Improved access to smart identity. So again, the bank system, the banks rolling out the ability to apply for smart identity cards. This kind of builds on the agreements which Home Affairs already has with banks, whereby the banks have access to the automated identification system, which allows them to check people's identity with biometric to prevent fraud in the banking system. And now they're basically just going to roll this out. It's going to require additional technology. The biometric finger readers are already in place, with cameras, digital cameras, and access to Home Affairs software or information, further information will be required. But it has the potential to extend the current smart card application points from just 130 to over 3,000. Which is the current amount of banks that have this smart biometric functionality. In addition to improving access to services and better access to documents, the broader and more rapid distribution of smart IDs will also contribute to prevention of fraud in the public sector, and also ensure that government services and grants are delivered to the right people. The use of biometrics and the application process to improve the ability to track fraudulent activities by officials. So the follow-up by DHA will basically just see on how these smart cards are rolled out. And there's also a question of how the, once application is done, how the completed card will be delivered to the final recipient, whether it will be through the MFA offices, through the mail, or at the regional banks, in which case cooperation between government printing works and the banks, and that still needs to be established. There's also a question of what the security implications are of sharing all that application information and the personal information by the bank, and how the security of that information will be ensured. The matter of eradicating racism and related intolerance. Again, this is a repeat theme from for several years, along the lines of social cohesion, improving national identity, but also preventing intolerance. And so a couple of direct quotes on that by the President. We are also aware that past initiatives haven't been completely successful, in that there were violent outbreaks in the past year, as well as a number of incidents of racist activity in some provinces. So, although a large outbreak of violence has been prevented, so it seems that the initiatives have prevented a huge scale outbreak like in 2008, there's still further initiative needed by the department. So, DHA plays an important role in providing citizens with a sense of identity and as well as immigrants with a sense of belonging by providing them with the required documents. But they also have quite an established network of stakeholder forums where they engage with communities on issues around identity and citizenship. And thus they have a broad influence and ability to impact the people's perspectives. So there's a role for the Department of Home Affairs to play in kind of countering xenophobic attitudes in that regard, but also in the training of officials, which need to continue, particularly border officials placed at the border, because they're the first thing that foreigners see when they come into the country. And these are the people who are tourists and investors, so they need to see the best of us when they encounter us. The Elections Commission will also need to continue its commendable reputation and ability to unite citizens in the common sense of shared democracy. Particularly getting youth involved in elections is a key role in this. So then there's basically just the need for Parliament to monitor the role that the DHA is playing in promoting investment in tourism, and particularly initiatives aimed at preventing xenophobia and anti-foreign sentiments. The 9-point plan to ignite growth and create jobs. A number of the points mentioned in Stoner to ignite growth and create jobs can be facilitated by the DHA. So the fast-tracking of visas is one, to allow for the critical skills to come into the country, and this will affect several sectors mentioned by the President, including the agriculture, mineral beneficiation, small to medium enterprises, and investors, and the industrial policy action plan, all of which need critical skills. So again, in terms of training and an information campaign, there needs to be a strong understanding in the country of the need for foreign skills and how this actually contributes to growth and job creation. And it's not a question of outright competition and stealing of jobs. So the DHA will also need to make sure that the particularly demanding sectors mentioned by the President are fast-tracked and part of the scarce-skill regime, so that they're also the better facilitated. The DHA has a role to play in energy concerns, as all departments do, in the sense of needing to make sure that all its over 400 offices are energy efficient. The related matter, the reform and boosting of the state-owned companies and ICT infrastructure has relevance to Home Affairs because of the transition of the GPW to state-owned entity, which has the potential to upskill many South Africans and also improve state revenue and growth. The role of broadband and ICT is also critical for Home Affairs and GPW as it becomes more technologically advanced with applications and the production of ID smart cards. So it's both needed by the DHA, but DHA and GPW are the drivers. They're driving towards expand the broadband and ICT infrastructure in the country. So the DHA will also just be monitored as per usual on their creation of employment. And will be particularly important to monitor this in 2015. Lastly, for 2015, the Anti-Corruption Inter-Ministerial Committee was established in 2014. It's headed by the minister in the presidency, Minister Radebe, but also has the Ministers of Justice and Correctional Services, State Security, Cooperative Governance, Public Service and Administration, Home Affairs, Finance, Social Development, and all those buttons put together on the Anti-Corruption Inter-Ministerial Committee. The purpose of the Anti-Corruption Committee is to coordinate and oversee the work state organs aimed at fighting and combating this kind of corruption in the public sector and private sectors. In addition to that, the President also mentioned the Public Administration Management Act, promulgated in 2014, which, amongst others, meant the prohibits public servants from doing business with state. So that's something that the Department of Home Affairs will internally need to monitor, but which we can also oversee. The Back to Basics program is also launched more at local government level, but has some relevance to Home Affairs in terms of the need to cut waste, spend funds prudently, hire competent staff, and ensure transparency. The continued role of Home Affairs in general anti-corruption measures is enhanced through the provision of a more secure passport, birth certificates and identity documents, and that will continue in the coming years. So then this is the need, obviously, to monitor the three initiatives, the Inter-Ministerial Committee on Corruption, the Public Administration and Management Act, and the Back to Basics Program. Then briefly an overview of the 2014 State of the Nation and the progress made in that regard. The four main areas covered last year were the Inter-Ministerial Task and Service Delivery, creating decent work especially for the youth, regional integration and economic growth, and building understanding, tolerance and reconciliation to fight intolerance. So as mentioned, the things four there and things two are repeated in the current financial year. But there has also only been 8 months since the last State of the Nation address. So there hasn't been a full year to implement these projects. The Inter-Ministerial Task and Service Delivery was established by Minister Gordon and included the Department of Home Affairs. And the particular progress made cannot be assessed yet because they haven't reported, but there are a number of initiatives in this delivery that have been initiated by the Department of Home Affairs in last year. This includes a service delivery model, which has been a detailed service delivery model, which includes a focus on service delivery, access, and quality. Specific targets have also been included for improved turnaround time, shorter queuing times, and reduced costs for service. The department also mentioned the need to constantly improve on the maximum distance that the business needs to travel to access home affairs services for clients. In the immigration sector, in terms of improving service delivery, the visa facilitation services were aimed at improving turnaround times for visa applications, but they've experienced a number of difficulties. Basically, when application appointments are supposed to take place within 5 days, they're in fact taking up to 60 days. There's an increase in complaints related to appointments not being carried through, applicants having to wait for more than 7 hours, taking months for even basic tourist visa applications, and then issues of people being declared undesirable because of delayed applications, as mentioned before. So there's a number of problems with BFS, and these need to be reported on and also improved on in the coming year. Creating decent work, especially for the youth. Youth employment tax incentive was introduced in December 2013. National Treasury indicated that about 230,000 jobs were created as a result of this. This is, according to Saljun, the research institute at UCT, seems to gain true impact of this, but we will monitor it in the coming year. The DHA is also responsible for providing documents that allow youth to write exams, to enter universities, and again access to formal employment. And they've indicated progress made in this regard in terms of providing IDs for persons over 16, school outreach programs and the like. Again, it's difficult to assess the direct role that Home Affairs has in creating youth jobs or employment in general because they play an indirect role, but they will continue their initiative. Internally, the DHA has indicated they recruited 879 officials in the year ending March 2014, compared to the total staff complement of 9,600, so almost 10% of the staff are new, so they are recruiting actively. They've also reported they had 507 learnerships in the 2013-14 year versus only 270 in the previous year. So they're quite actively involving the youth in initiatives in the department, and we'll monitor the progress made on that when the latest annual report becomes available. Regional integration. So this has been mentioned for several years by the president. So there's quite a bit of progress in other sectors where on matters in SADC, for instance, where there's cooperation of environmental management, employment, labor, regional infrastructure development, and on legal cooperation, but there are still considerable delays in facilitating the movement of persons, and issues such as providing a uni visa, which would allow tourists to travel anywhere in the region on a single visa, kind of like the Schengen region. This was proposed as early as 1998 for implementation in 2002, but the security concerns of the Department of Home Affairs around influx of illegal immigrants and cross-border crime as well as trafficking have made the progress on this regional uni visa be very slow. So again, the president mentioned for the need to balance security concerns with growth initiatives needs to be emphasized. So when the migration policy comes out later this year, they need to have active mention of how regional integration will be improved to improve tourism, regional trade, and regional growth. So there are also initiatives by the World Bank that has given funding to other member states in SADC to pilot the uni visa project in the Transfrontier Park and to promote regional tourism. But that's been initiated in other government countries, in other countries in the region. We still need to kind of get on board with that. Then lastly, we've already mentioned this need to build understanding and tolerance and reconciliation to fight intolerance. So basically this is an ongoing area of focus for the department, both internally for internal education and also in outreach with community, with stakeholder forums and their engagement with clients. So that's briefly what I have for the State of the Nation today. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Honorable members, I believe you have followed him up. Even though that at some certain areas, I think he has been using some strong words, and decisive words, and I think we'll deal with them as we move forward. You see, is there anything that the honorable members needs to be clarified, an understanding or principle or a view that has been expressed here? And what are we saying?
Chair, I'm trying to understand. Let me say firstly thanks to Adam for the document. What are we expected to do here? Just simply understand the document and move on? Or what do you want as the outcome from this conversation?
Okay. The outcome of this particular document is not going to be a formal report or whatever. It is that we have the state of the national address, and then the content advisor then unpack the state of the national address and say, this is what it means to the Department of Home Affairs. Then this is what affects the work of Home Affairs. So that then ourselves, then we are able to know where should we put our eye on Home Affairs. And then when we meet Home Affairs on the quarterly progress reporting, then we are able to say, no, but the state of the national address has said X, Y, Z. What is there that you are doing about it? And basically, it is the a total interpretation of the State of the Nation address by ADA as the content advisor to help us to fast track us to understand what affects us in the State of the Nation address. But of course, honorable members, I can still say that this doesn't mean that we must go and get a copy of the State of the Nation address and read it and internalize ourselves. But this is extract out of it that talks to Home Affairs. That would affect our responsibilities of oversight of Home Affairs. So that's why now I'm just saying that because he has actually single disease out, then talk to them. We agree with him. Is there any other area where we think that you understood best that it should form part of the issues that affect the Home Affairs, and then that you think that this document has not covered it? Or is there a point that he has raised here, you have got a feeling that no, it is not best suited or best placed in Home Affairs, but in another department? We just need to have a cooperative oversight or whatever. That's what I'm just trying to ask, especially those that have read the date of the national address a little bit more clear, or have
Chair, the reason why I ask the question is that I can understand the contribution that I, whether or not it is in line. So, and I'm glad you clear that up. So it doesn't have to. May I just say that, Chair, I think in general I'm fairly satisfied with the administration of the position address and everything that comes out today and how it relates to the work that we do. But I think that maybe it would have been beneficial if someone from the department was here to also, you know, just at least observe the discussions that we have as a portfolio committee. Nonetheless, with your permission, I just would like to just make a couple of comments on some of the content. And in doing so, I omitted to say welcome back to you, and I hope you had a good holiday over the festive season. And I want to tell you a very quick story that actually is related to the work that we do in the Home Affairs Department. And over the holiday, I had the chance to go fishing a bit, never caught any fish. But you know, I took every type of bait that I could. And everybody around me was catching fish except myself. And the only I took a little bit of time to try and understand from those people who were fishing what kind of bait they were using, I would have also got the fish that they were catching, which are actually a very simple bait. But the point that I'm trying to make is this, and it reminds me actually about this immigration regulations of the department and how actually it's just a fishing expedition. Because if the department just put a little bit more time and effort into trying to understand the impact of the regulation before implementing it, they would have also caught as much fish as I would have tried. Huh? And it, you know, I'm excited to hear that the president now had picked up on some of those problems and those, what I termed initially last year, the unintended consequences of those immigration regulations. Mm-hmm. And it really, really is so unfortunate that we could have fixed this problem last year already. But there's often in government there's this tendency of, we know it all, we'll find the solution, we'll fix it. And this negates the very reason why we have these portfolio committee meetings. And all of us, I'm convinced, to sit around the table, regardless of what our political solutions are, have a shared interest in the advancement of the country. And Home Affairs has played a massive role in that regard, especially when it comes to tourism and job creation and all of those things. And a number of the points that we made last year on the aviation regulation, the impact that it's having on tourism, job creation, and so on, and I'm encouraged that it's now starting to be realized. So, nonetheless, without dwelling too much on the parties, it would be good to hear from the Department of what adjustments are coming on the immigration regulations. And has there been some sort of study before we implemented those regulations? This amendment that had to be done would have not been necessary. I just think it was rushed through, but nonetheless, I think that's a very positive sign in support of the points covering the immigration regulations. Then, Chair, on the issue of the Border Management Agency, you know, it's been mentioned here in our portfolio committee very fleetingly. There hasn't been a lot of information about exactly what's going on. We know that there's been a study, feasibility study that has been done. I haven't seen those documents. A lot of my colleagues, I think, have seen it. And we have to rely on information from the media often about what's going on in this Border Management Agency, which is rather unfortunate. This is the portfolio committee that deals with Home Affairs. And I'm not sure what the reason for the secrecy around the Border Management Agency is concerned. And the point I'd like to make is that I think that the portfolio committee must ask the department and the minister to actually come and brief the committee on exactly where we are in the Border Management Agency and what's going on with it and, you know, the work that it's going to. And the reason why I say that is so that we don't end up with the same fishing expedition as the immigration regulations. And I'm encouraged by the implementation of the Border Management Agency. I don't know what the details are. But, you know, any step in that direction to try and address some of the problems is always a positive step. But the devil is in the detail. And I would hate for us to be in a situation where we've already implemented it and then we have an opportunity to make some input. I think that would be most unfair. The chair on the smart IEs, it's really is absolutely positive to hear about the introduction of ACE assisting. I think it's a step in the right direction. It will help. Clearly, the department's not here to talk about that particular issue, and I'm sure maybe we'll get an opportunity to do that. There's a massive queue at home of his, with people waiting from 5 o'clock in the morning until 4:30 in the afternoon, only to be told that they're unable to be served for that day. It's really unfortunate. But we'll talk about that at some stage, and maybe this is going to help. Just one or two other very quick points, just I'll give my colleagues a chance. The last point. Can this move to the government printing works for it to become a student enterprise? And something that I think we must have a broader conversation about at a later stage. This is probably one of the few government departments that run a very tight ship. They get clear orders, their turnaround times are fabulous, they have professional staff, they get things done. It's a model department in government. And move this now from a department that's working perfectly, get everything done, to a state-owned enterprise. You know, it's a case of scratching where it's not itching. And I'm comparing the performance of other state-owned enterprises and the trajectory that they have moved over the years. And so one can't blame me for feeling a bit uncomfortable when someone tells me that they want to move a department, transform a department into a state-owned enterprise, when actually it's working. I don't understand the point, except for I understand the argument about they need to attract other skills and so on, but surely there's other ways in which we can do that. So those are just my few comments. Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity. We'll come back. Maybe you and I will go fishing sometime. Thanks.
Okay. I grew up fishing, but you know, the fishing there is more difficult back then, in the rivers. You know. Sometimes inside the river, sometimes moving on the banks of the river. And it's the one thing that I think I developed some sort of skills in it, but not at this age, because I'm worried that I may tumble into the water and not come out, and that will be the end of me. Okay, I think there are a few things. I think not necessarily with the intent to respond to you, but I think certain things we need to inform you that. The workshop that we had the other day, I think we missed a lot. Because for us to be able to develop a strategic plan, we wanted to know what the departments and the entities report to the department. What is that they are doing? And they have talked a lot about the PMA, the immigration regulations, and the smart IT, and the GPW, and the IECs, things that are actually keeping them busy, the issue of load shedding. Risk aversion and all those things. I think that they did speak to us a lot. I think what we should do is to try and ask the secretary if you could just compile the presentations and make sure that you access them, even though that you are not there. But let's see if you go to your presentations, then I think it can take you up to speed so that when we meet them, then we don't find ourselves repeating the things that they have already said. And then for us to look at if we're too behind from them. And I think that is the few things that we will need to do. And then the issue of GPW, as much as all of us are hearing that it is functioning properly, but the question of them to move as a state-owned enterprise is appealing. It's appealing only in one way. They definitely have a problem to sustain the specialized workers. They do have a problem of accessing them. But for some other reason, they are able to access them because, you can always access those that are not on the top ladder in terms of expertise. And then they grow within the GPW. But then when they grow their expertise, GPW then cannot sustain them. Then they jump out again. So Now GPW now is functioning as if it's a training facility for other people like printing houses and media houses, you know. Then that is actually costing them. And the problem is that you remember that they informed us that they made a special request for a special dispensation for those highly skilled or highly technical personnel, and that has not been agreed to. So, because you know, everybody that works for the state, then they are governed by one legislation, and then you can't get a separated director in GPW, then earning two times a director in home affairs, it's just not possible. And then it has got all its own problems. And I think that is the kind of a problem, the kind of an issue that is on the table. The second issue that makes their request to be appealing is that currently they are living on their own fees that they are generating with the work that they are doing. They don't really get a lot of money from the department. Then they generate their own income. And then there is also a requirement, especially in line with the regional integration and the continental integration, that they do print, they've got the capacity to print ballot papers from elections. And then they would like to expand, because our country, you know, is we go to election now, and then we go to election after 2 years for local government election, then after another 2 or 3 years, then for national and provincial. Then that income from, you know, is it cannot be sustained. So is that they want also to make sure that to sustain their capacity, then they must get even some help from outside the country, in the SADC countries. They want to actually assist the other side of countries where there's a need for printing, even for ID passports like they are doing now. I think they are printing other certain countries' passports, and they're like that, and so that then they are able to, because they are still the state-owned, I mean they are a part of the department, and then they are limited by the boundary of our country. But then for them, if we are not giving them money, we say generate your own income, then you can't lose them and say operate within this batch, whereas you are actually not funding them. Then they should then have a liberty to actually expand their services. But of course there must be a clear commitment so that their primary customer is the South African government, so that we don't find ourselves in a situation where we can't have passports being printed because they are involved in printing a British passport. That kind of thing. But I think those are some of the issues that are on the table. Except that, you know, nobody will ever talk about Treasure to be a state-owned enterprise. This is our department, and it is functioning properly to a certain extent, even though that there were a little bit of hiccups in the staff directorate. But it is functioning properly, and there's nobody that's going to think about that at all. But with this one, because it is a self-generating income, and then also with that problem I've raised at the beginning of really keeping the skills within the fold of GPW, I think that's the problem. And the Department of Public Service is not giving in to give them a special compensation of salaries. It's not doing so.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, understandably so, because then they will be bending the one of the act of the country that governs public service. I think that is the few issues. And then the other thing that I just wanted to raise generally is that we are politicians and coming from different parties, and our main task is to actually produce legislation and policy. To produce it. And when we have produced that, the executives then must actually implement it. And the manner in which they implement it, we have got interest to know how they are implementing it. But we can't dictate 100% because we are not accountable. We never take accountability. If you say the department says, no, we are going to do this in this way, and then we say, no, you don't do it that way. You do it this way. And then they do it the way you are indicating to them, and then there is a big failure or a big collapse. We're not going to take that accountability. So when we engage with them, we advise them, we show them what we think the society out there, the public out there, may not benefit as we intended with the police, if you do it that way. And then it is now also, they are now given the opportunity to go and look at the advice that they've given, and then whether they see sense in them and improve. But they do it on their own, and they must take accountability of what they're doing. And so, I'm just raising that we shouldn't throw stones at them too much, because we may end up putting them in a danger that we can't share the accountability with them. And some of their thoughts, as an executive, of course, for you, we say, is that if you think that they are making a very big mistake, that's what maybe it will require to campaign against them during election, rather than just by buying to force and say, no, Home Affairs Minister, no, this is not right, and then do it this way. But all what I'm saying is that at our level here in Parliament, we just simply want to know how they are doing it, and they'll be saying, it's all right, we know how you are doing it, and if we think that there is an advice that we can give, we give them that advice. But it becomes forceful. It's not going to count. Yes. I think that's why I just wanted to raise them there. If they continue doing somewhere in a particular manner, even after we have advised them, you just raise your hand and say, no, but you have been advised. You have been advised. If you continue in that, and then it's a problem. But I mean, with ourselves, I mean, we are part of the ruling party. And then we really know how we will try and make them understand if we have got a view on a particular matter that they are doing. And then we'll find a way of investigating, but it can't be at this particular level. At this level, doing oversight, we ask how they are doing it, and then they tell us how they are doing it. And in the process, then we're able to tell the community and the public how the department is doing 1, 2, 3, how you can access that service, the manner in which the department says this is the app, the manner in which we are giving this particular service. Yes, member.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Firstly, to Mr. Palmer for his input, our content advisor, researcher. Chairperson, I would like to indulge your stand, or basically just request that I actually, before I address matters which are in this report, to request to address some of the matters which the chairperson did. We are here at the committee, chairperson, and whether we throw stones, how hard we throw them, it is for the department and for the minister to wear the regalia which is shown, that it will not reach his eye or whatever. In other words, chairperson, whether the opposition throws the stones as hard as they can, provided they know that they need to throw a stone in that direction, they need to do it. I think, chairperson, in my humble nature, I would like to request that we try not to use words like, you people know how to talk to them, you can talk to them, and the opposition cannot. Let us acknowledge that all of us in the committee, when we write out a report, and we do not have even minority reports, we say, we as a committee are saying to the department, they must do ABCD. Please, Chairperson, let us be mindful of those type of things, because they do not dwell well with democracy. we need to ensure that wherever there's a need for us to point out matters, we do it. Secondly, the second letter which I would like to talk about is probably some of the hard words which Mr. Salmon used in his report. I think the chairperson said expressly that, you know, he has used some hard words. Don't worry about that, chairperson. We can take it. We can take it. Deliver them as hard as you can. We will try and unpack them as a committee. So whether they are hard or whatever, let us listen and unpack. Let us not try and say, let people write in a particular manner so that they make things to be so easy for us, so that we land on well-padded type of environments. That isn't correct, chairperson. Do it the way you like. That's like when we have stakeholders here. They talk their minds. But of course, when it comes to our researchers or our content providers, they base their content on specific facts. If we look at this report, or this input, which Mr. Salmon gave to us, I would like to come up with about two recommendations before I get to the matter. I would like as chairperson to call in the Department of Home Affairs, our stakeholders, and do actually an evaluation of this SONA, because the president here has addressed even certain things which did not even happen last year when the department was giving us a report. This is Zulu City Chairperson, irrespective of what you were given in the strategic plan. In the strategic plan. City is Zulu. Iphinenkulu. Na ukhulume the president of the country. And nobody kumile, as the president has spoken, we need to address matters in that regard, irrespective of issues which you got in your strategic plan where the department was claiming ABCD. They need now to come and actually account on what the president has said and actually say that, no, in this particular area, the president says ABCD, but it's not like that. Is the president. So the strategic plan, all those people that were talking to you, once we will receive the documentation, it does not make them to be the last word. The last word is here, what came out on SONA. Secondly, Chairperson, I would like to see us looking at this report to identify certain areas where we need to do active oversight. Like Mr. Bunters, Chairperson, you will remember that on the issue of probably, I think we spoke about Messina, we spoke about all those areas where we had said we would go during our December holidays. We need to say to ourselves, out of this report, out of the SONA input, where do we need to go and actually address matters? Where the president has raised those matters as actual problems? Because now, Kulume, now, Kulume president now, that is what we need to do. Now, Chairperson, just to address a few areas which are still problematic, which we know about, which actually made the Department of Home Affairs to come out with an audit opinion, which they got from the Auditor General last year. I think we all remember it. It's because of some of these issues which even the President brought forth. Are issues around these people who may not be given the visas applications, where you find that their time even expires and then they are not even allowed to re-enter after 5 years. It's something which we also raise as a committee. So now, Chairperson, if we had not raised it as a committee, we should be we really begged hard as a committee, and of which we had the right to do, and the president has also raised it. So it's a matter which we need to talk about with the department. When we talk about skilled migration, I remember this committee coming up with recommendations. Hopefully we were not mindful of what is going on. We were really begging hard, and we had the right to do that. And if we say to ourselves, we are a committee of home affairs, and the oversight is actually done by ourselves, we don't need to be really dallying about matters here. We need to actually go for the brunt of the matter. That is what even the minister, Minister Gigaba, would like us to do. I don't think he would like us to go soft on issues simply because the Luguti Ubemnan ha umagubi gubi telelalap. May I thank this issue which the president spoke about the biometric technology. I remember I went to a bank not so long ago, And I was actually taken through that process. I went to NetBank, and I have a NetBank card. So whilst I was putting the card, they just said to me, oh, we're not going to take your card. Go to that queue. That is where you need to start. And they did everything. And they even check your eyes. When they check on your retina and everything else, where you look at us in your lens and everything else. I was quite impressed with it. And I felt proud because it was something which I knew about as a member. So it was quite beautiful. So with this one, I think we'd like to see quite a lot of banks come into that. I'm not too sure how much monetary value do we need to put into the banks, or the banks will be doing it out of their own money, because if it's very little money, then we could get more banks to actually do this. Because I don't think it's AXA. Is it AXA? Yes. I don't think they're doing it. But I do know that NetBank as well as other banks are doing it. Lastly, Chairperson, the issue of, not lastly, the issue of this 2014 State of the Nation, I think it's on page 5, where we have the four areas, where 8 months passed since the last owner, and then there were these interministerial task teams and everything else, and some of the reports, I think there's somewhere here where it says some of the reports were never given because of 8 months and all that. That is still not good enough. That is still not good enough, because once a task team is set up, because these task teams were actually meant by the president at the 2014 State of the Nation. We need to know about that. This task team on service delivery that was established, and it was led by Minister Gordhan, and July 2014, whatever the DSA on service delivery, June 2014, cannot actually get that report. All of that is not good enough. So we are not going to be soft on matters. Some of us, we don't believe that we are elected as public reps because things need to go soft on us. If people need to be hard on us on matters, they need to say their mind and say how they are feeling on matters. That's the chapter on the issue of, I think, the xenophobia as well as the attacks that have happened in a lot of the other townships. I think the person here, the president, stated something that is very, very interesting to us. What page is this, by the way, on xenophobia? Because I made them, what's the answer? Pardon? It will be the page 7. Thank you very much, ma'am. I think here, Chairperson, we need to say to ourselves as well, as Home Affairs, as the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs, how much of this is actually being done when it comes to going forth to people? Do we only go forth to people when an issue has occurred? Like now in Soweto, we're seeing issues. We saw an issue in Sibkeng. We saw it in the West Rand. Tshwane also started. Probably it might also go on to other provinces. When do we start, actually? Or who has to do it? Who has to keep talking to people? Because this intolerance is growing. Every time it rears its ugly head, it's greater, it's a bigger head than the last time. So all those type of things need to be the issues that we can say to ourselves, do we actually conduct oversight, or do we do whatever, so that there is a continuum in this province. Thank you.
Just before we continue, it's a little bit difficult, you see, to stop a member from speaking. When the member is speaking, very, very difficult, and especially because you are not too many. And then, so it's, maybe one should really just clarify some few things. Initially, I said the exercise today is just simply to say, yes, these are the things that are contained in the State of the Nation Address that affect Home Affairs. We are not reviewing the work of Home Affairs. We are not reviewing the progress made. No, not today. Today we are just simply agreeing that these are the things that we think they are contained in the State of the Nation Address that affect the Department of Home Affairs. And if we agree on that, and then we'll start now working on these things. And when we meet the department, we'll be asking the department, how are you dealing with attracting foreign skills? How are you dealing with improving access to ID cards and all that? When we meet the department, Remember that at the moment, honorable members, some of the things that Adam has raised from the State of the Nation address, you can't walk up tomorrow and go to the department and see them. Because some of them are being raised, then they must be covered by the budget, and the department must start implementing them. The current budget that the department is having is based on the previous priorities, whatever. So, you may still go quite a long way before you start seeing some of the things that may be new, that have been raised, and like the border management, generally speaking, there is still a lot of fine-tuning policies, and then budgeting, putting money to the relevant activities that are due to start, and then that now you can move and start saying, how far are you on this particular matter? But then on the other matter is honorable members, you see, I'm not saying that you must be soft on the department, on what the department has said it is going to do. We must hold them accountable on what they have said that they are going to do. But if they are saying, what I was referring to is, if they are saying to identify yourself, we need a green ID book, and then we as a committee here, we think, no, we need the ID card. And then we force them to use the ID card. Then you say, no, you must use the ID card. That's what I'm saying. It can't be correct, because you are now doing an executive function, which you are not going to be held accountable. You see, we can only advise them and say, no, if you are using the ID book, but because you've got the ID card, can you also make sure that you integrate the ID card in the whole identification? But they will determine when, knowing the risks that are there out there, for them to be able to account on behalf of the nation as an executive. So that's what I'm saying, that like as the Honorable Hussein was saying right at the beginning, I was just bringing that to say, where you are actually advising the department to move from what they are doing to another thing, let us make it to be an advice, because if you instruct, then you are in the executive function. Then you must also take responsibility and accountability for what's going to happen there as an outcome. And we are not in the position to do that and take responsibility and accountability. We are just simply doing oversight. And actually, we need to really make sure that what they have said they are going to do, we must make sure that they do that. We become very hard on that. That, I think that's what I was just simply indicating, and which I think it looks like this may have generated some sort of misunderstanding. Honorable Kenya.
Thank you, Adam, for your information you have given us. But I think I would like to say to President, now that we have identified that when you look at it in the ministerial report, judging report on festival charges, change and social challenges, there are so many challenges here and so many inefficiencies according to the state president. So what I'm going to say, if Adam can unpack all of them, for example, if you look at the challenges, that talks to the booking online, which lasts longer, that takes 3 days online booking on the visa, and also the increased complaints related to appointments. So saying that applicants wait to 7 hours to be seen, I don't know whether to be seen in interviews or whatever. Yes. So I don't know what that thing talks to. Maybe it's interviews, to my understanding. Then again, taking 4 months for the tourist to get a visa until that is declared undesirable, that which is also that is true the fault of their own. So, and also when you look also on the regional integration and economic growth, talk to the South Africa also is concerned about influx of illegal immigrants and cross-border crime. And it says that SADC has been weak to implement the visa initiative. So if Adam can unpack all the challenges, because we won't get these challenges specifically from Home Affairs. If you can unpack under all these headings to catch all the challenges that are there, that in between, because really maybe we can also say if we can also get, maybe we are still waiting even higher, the full report, maybe the president said that, still waiting for the full report of the international minister task team on service delivery. But if as Home Affairs we can get ours so that we see these challenges and then we discuss these challenges, as we know that these challenges really, we won't see them, and we do see them in fact in the report, in the presentations of the Home Affairs, which are new to us, some of them. If we can get them now unpacked as one, and under one page, so that we can be able, therefore, when we meet the Home Affairs, we can be able to look at this challenge, to interrogate them, these challenges, which we don't see them coming up with. I think also Jefferson is just going to say that, because we know that international, this testing is to oversee, coordinate and oversee, the government is to coordinate and oversee the work of state organs. But specifically, in combat, it's a major question on private and public sectors. When I talk about crime, the escalation of crime. So that's why I say if you can get, because we're also as well, we are concerned about this illegal immigrants across my crime, as we also narrated the story when we were there in the workshop, in our studies workshop, about the crime which is perpetrated by the immigrants. So therefore, if you can just help us, I think we can be able, therefore, to take the department into task, noting the challenges which are there on the state of the nation that is. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you very much, Honorable Rafuti.
Thank you very much, content advisor, for really extracting an important point from SONA. And I think it's going to make it very easy for us, you know, to refer. And I really appreciate even, you know, at the best you have written, where did you get this, you know, information. And I think it's well appreciated. But I would appreciate if you can ensure that we get this, the service delivery report quickly, because you said the interministerial committee, they must still have to, you know, present that report, especially on the Department of Home Affairs. But as a content advisor, I really understand, you know, just extracting and putting it here and making our lives easier. Thank you very much.
Okay. No, thanks. Thanks very much. On the group measure.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairman. I think the report is really accurate, and the issue of accepting critical skills and the debate around the critical skills like ship sharing and so forth, how is it going? And then I read and talked about the critical skills, but the way we talk about it here, it indicates that we still need further engagement. And then the issue of employing spouses of the people with critical skills. I don't know whether the president mentioned it, but although I think it needs to be looked into. The second area is the issue of immigration. I think there has been a lot of heat around this issue without any light to show the way going forward. And I request that when we debate about it, let us look into the issue we intend to address, and that is trafficking and smuggling of children, and to bring the Department of Home Affairs in line with the Children's Act of 2005 by requiring more secure documents. I think a lot of time when we debate around this issue, we do not focus around the dead, but we focus around the outcry there from the Department of Tourism. And then on the issue of the Water Management Agency, I think the latest has been that SARS has deployed its resources and capacities for Water Management Agency. I think it was last week. And that is not current, but I think it is reflected as it was mentioned by the President. And the issue of creating decent work for the youth, and then the estimates there, I think there is a need to establish as to the numbers. But my guess would have been, given the fact that there are the tax incentives, then the administration of the tax incentives fairly gives an accurate number of people that are employed. But there is also another research that was mentioned from the University of Cape Town, but I think that would be an interesting point to engage on as well. And then on the issue of built understanding tolerance and reconciliation to fight intolerance, as the chairperson said, there are things that we discussed in the workshop. For the benefit of those that are not there, the committee is going to have public hearings, I think. It's a workshop or public hearings on xenophobia, or what is called xenophobia. So we
now have a workshop.
We are going to invite different stakeholders and engage and see what exactly it is. Because there is a debate that in as much as there are problems, there is competition in areas that in other countries people are protected. If you go to Zimbabwe, you can't go to Zimbabwe and open a shop in a township or in town. You need a work permit. And in other countries as well. So it's these things that the grievances of the small shop owners, the working communities, that we've got to hear. I'm not saying that it is correct to react in that way, but at the same time, I think as a government, we've got to understand exactly where we stand around these issues. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
For the discussion that has ensued, and I think it looks like there is nobody that says that there is any part here which is not an extract from the state or the national present, except that we may have just tried to review the work of the department rather than actually doing what we're trying to review today. And I accept that, of course, I have indicated that certain hard ways. I think maybe one needs to just indicate that you see, when you put a particular statement, there are more than one position from which you are coming to put that particular statement. And it's either you formulate the statement, or you say the statement as it is, or you assess the statement. And I think that is what I'm trying to refer, because you know, so the statement that one was actually looking at as well was Adam, is on page one, is the statement that was talking to a policy in relation to spouses of migrants. That's what I was referring, because you're almost formulating a policy. It's a totally new policy. and it becomes a bit of a problem, because immediately when it gets out of us here now, then it is our document to get now. As a committee, we can be held accountable for the document. And if it goes out or lands in any other hand, you may find this document running around in prison. Spouses of people with their skills, then we will get this dispensation. And when it is not a policy, or you have not actually talked to them, that's why I'm saying is, they've got hard ways, and then the hard ways actually put some sort of certainty on a thing where there's no real certainty. Of course, is that the other one I've just seen that you may not have put the code, and I'm sure you should have tried to put the code in relation to where you say that on page 7, where you say that thus far bureaucratic cooperation in SADC has been weak in the absence of political will to drive such cooperation. You see, many say the report says. And then it may have been much, much better if it has been put as a quotation, if it comes from a particular report. Because, as I'm saying, it's hard. Somebody may say, no, when you say there's no political way, what do you mean? And you find a very serious argument raising out of that, and then you find that you can't actually defend the particular statement. I think that's what I was actually trying to talk to. Honorable members, I will run with this specific document. This is going to assist us then to actually check the Department of Home Affairs whether it is doing something about these things. And they will be able to say, you know, in terms of the state of the nation address, there was a particular matter. And then why it looks like you are not talking about it? Are you not trying to implement it or at the store? And then to explain to us when are they going to implement it if they have not started, and then what are they doing about it. And also, of course, when you come and look at the budget, we'll be following on this particular matter, so whether they are covering the budget. If they are not covered, then they will indicate to us when are they going to cover in relation to the outer years. Whether then they will be accommodating the new items that the state of the nation address has actually raised. And honorable members, if you have completed your discussion, then you must go back to Adam. And the Adam then must indicate whether you are hearing us or not. You may proceed.
Thank you very much, Chair. I take your comments on the wording. I'm a politically educated myself on that. The matter of the permit for spouses, for instance, is something that one of the other members also mentioned. It's just it's a practice that happens internationally, and it's a way of attracting people into the country. Basically, you give the person you want a permit, but then in order to make it easier for him to come, you allow his spouse to also be able to work when they come here. So Home Affairs already has measures in place where they give you the permit for the whole family to come, but they don't necessarily allow the spouse to work. So you can imagine if you want to go abroad, you'd like for your partner to be able to work too, otherwise it's only your salary that has to support you when you're abroad. So these are just the kinds of measures that are implemented internationally to attract skills. But before I make the document publicly available, I'll say that this is a consideration as opposed to something we necessarily recommend. In terms of Honorable Hussein's question on the purpose of this analysis is, a lot of forms part of our strategic planning. So we have a five strategic plan and an annual business plan, which also is informed by the President's issues highlighted for the year. So we're going to incorporate this into our strategic and business plan, which are going to be finalized by the end of the month, probably. The reason why the department's not here, we have actually requested them to give a written response to this statement. We just traditionally like to discuss these things by ourselves and then give the department the opportunity to respond at a later date. But we'll be getting a written response from, I think we've asked for by the end of the week, and we can make that available. Then the next question, also just one question of the GPW. There's a subtle difference, as far as I understand, between a state-owned enterprise and a state-owned company. So
So the what the EPW is trying to do is become a state-owned company, which means, as far as I understand, the only difference is that they're not profit-driven. They're not driving towards like making a profit. Everything that all the money that they make is reinvested back into expanding the public service. So that makes it significantly different. So the concerns around it's going the direction of some of the other state-owned enterprises, I think, will be addressed in that sense, because it's basically just there to grow itself only. The next, another significant factor that being a state-owned company with a system with is the fact that they do also be able to expand their own facilities and building renovations and improvements, which they currently have to rely on the Department of Public Works for, and the Department of Public Works is inundated with other work, so they're constantly delayed by the DPW. And so being semi-autonomous, they still would be under the Home Affairs budget. They would be able to kind of fast track some of these initiatives around printing. So, yeah, again, I mean, the debate is still there whether this is the best route to take, but this is something that they've done a lot of research into. Okay, then, Honorable Nkomo, as I said, the department will respond in writing. In terms of where one needs to go to oversee some of these issues, I think the idea more that there are general issues that are raised for the year, and then everywhere we go, we make sure that we keep an eye on these issues. So, for instance, our strategic plan indicated that we needed to cover the Western Cape and the Northern Cape as priorities, because we haven't covered them in the past Parliament. So when we visit those provinces in our oversight, we'll consider all these issues and make sure that we raise them, and we'll do that when we do our oversight briefing papers and that kind of thing. So we'll continue engaging with these issues wherever we go. As the chairperson mentioned, there's also going to be some proactive engagement in kind of engaging around the issue of xenophobia, both in our oversight in the provinces, but also as something at debate at Parliament. Makene, the I think she said she'll unpack some of these matters. But basically, the interministerial service delivery committee, they might not necessarily have been required to provide a report to government, but can certainly request them to give an update. So this is more along the line that we request them to give that information to us as it applies to particularly to Home Affairs. The booking delays, this was information provided from like a forum of various immigration practitioners. And basically, they represent various international clients, and they've indicated these delays. They're not necessarily indicative of the entire service of the VFS, but they are still concerns, and it's basically just need to make sure that we address them. For instance, you should be able to apply online for a visa, and then according to their website, you know, that you should be able to get your appointment to be interviewed for that visa within 5 days. And that's often delayed up to 60 days. So, there have been many cases where they have been delayed in that regard. So there's been a couple of different delays. Then, as you said, we've also asked the department to provide written response on the issues raised by the president. Okay, so then I think that addresses the concerns raised by Honorable Raputi as well about the service delivery report. We'll make sure that we get information on that. Honorable Gamede, in terms of what skills are needed for the skills, critical skills, it's a constant updated process. Every year they're supposed to come up with a new list of the scarce skills that we need for the country. In the past there's been delays in terms of what scarce skills are needed for a given year. So I think there's some oversight that's needed in terms of making sure that there's a regular update of the kind of skills we need, including sheep sharing. This is something that was mentioned as part of a bilateral agreement that could be established between South Africa and Lesotho. We'll that the report on the actual amount of youth employment is basically just saying it's too soon to be able to establish exactly how many people have been being employed, how many youth have been employed, because it's basically the latest labor reports haven't been made available, stats they say. So the amount of money that, as the information becomes available, we'll verify that both for the private sector, but also for Home Affairs. And, I think those are the only questions. The rest were all comments that I've noted.
Okay. Thanks very much. And I thought, of course, that we have taken 45 minutes, and then but it took us a little bit long. And I think we should be ready now to actually engage the department on any specific report, whether it's a strategic plan of the department or whether it's an annual performance of the DRR report. And then moving forward for the next 12 months, we should be able to do so. And I did not intend to announce that we have requested the department to actually give us a short brief of their understanding of the SONA, because I viewed it as a chairperson's request from the DG how we understand the SONA, so that we are actually clear when we finalize our strategy. Rather, we are seeing the same thing with them, because if they are not seen by the DG and the department, then they may not see their position in the budget, in the next coming budget. So I actually wanted that to understand that. But I think now that Adam has done my best favor of announcing that, and it's fine, because one did not understand that it is an obligation of the DG to do that. So it was just a request for us to be able to see whether we are seeing the same thing in the data of the national banks. So we will immediately, when they manage to produce that two-page document or so, then we'll try and make sure that it's distributed among yourselves, so that you can inform yourselves on that as well. Just to see whether we are on the same page with the department and that we're doing oversight over it. And I think Hussein has been struggling very seriously. If there's an opportunity to say something, you may proceed.
Chair, very briefly, just one other point that I would like to make, that if we can consider in the document, and this flows from the President's speech, I mean, the focus on attracting foreign skills into the country. To do that, and I'm not sure how we put this in, to do that, one of the requirements is a police clearance certificate, which is not Home Affairs related. But to get a police clearance certificate takes several months. So it does impact on the work that the department has to do to meet its own targets, but yet if that falls under a different department itself. So how we can capture that into the document to actually give, to highlight that difficulty that Home Affairs will not be able to achieve that kind of target unless we're going to be able to get that collaboration from Police Services Portfolio Committee or the department.
Shouldn't we deal with that when we engage the department on its quarterly report or something? Because with the current situation, we are extracting that this one of foreign skills. But when we get a report on attracting foreign skills and whatever progress made, then we engage on that particular matter and take a resolution. Will it not be the better?
I don't mind whether. The point is that it makes
it
a critical contributing factor to the work that Home Affairs has to do. So I can't see any harm in being in the document at the moment. I mean, a lot of that stuff you can be reading in the quarterly report anyway. So if you've got it there, there's one reason to have it in there. But I mean, it's not something I'll die in the deep about you if you're not comfortable with it.
Yeah, no. What I'm trying to say is, Honorable Hussein, is that Adam can just put a sentence in there, but it doesn't become a resolution, it doesn't do anything, and doesn't bring a progress. And then, but if we come on, we do it on a quarterly progress report, and then we discuss it, and then we make a resolution. And then now people, they must deal with it. That's all I'm just saying, but I mean, there is no harm in putting a sentence that talks to it. And but you know, it is not like generating a response or an activity. That's my challenge. I think, honorable members, then this brings us to the end, and then Adam will just go and clean the document, and then recirculate electronically now to members. And yeah.
Thanks.
This brings to the end, and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.